Long ago, in my grandmother's time, the Carland was all in bogs. Great pools of black water and creeping trickles of green water and squishy mools which squirted when you stepped on them. Well, Granny used to say how long before her time the moon herself was once dead and buried in the marshes, and she used to tell me, I'll tell you all about it. The moon up yonder shone and shone just as she does now, and when she shone, she lighted up the bog pool so that one could walk about almost as safe as the day. But when she didn't shine, out came the things that dwelt in the darkness and went about seeking to do evil and harm. Bogies and crawling horrors all came out when the moon didn't shine. Well, the moon heard of this, and being kind and good as she surely is, shining for us in the night instead of taking her natural rest, she was main troubled. I'll see for myself, I will, she said. Maybe it is not so bad as folks make out. Sure enough, at the month's end, down she stepped, wrapped in a great black cloak and a black hood over her silver shining hair. Straight she went to the bog edge and looked down about her, water here and water there, waving tussocks and trembling mools, and great black snags all twisted and bent. Before her all was dark, dark, but for the glimmer of the stars in the pools and the light that came down from her own white feet, stealing out from under her black cloak. The moon drew her cloak fast about her and trembled, but she wouldn't go back without seeing all that there was to be seen. So on she went, stepping as light as the wind in summer from tuft to tuft between the greedy gurgling waterholes. Just as she came near a big black pool, her foot slipped and she was nigh tumbled in. She grabbed with both hands as a snag near to her to steady herself, but as she touched it, it twined itself about her wrists like a pair of handcuffs and gripped her so tight that she couldn't move. She pulled and twisted and fought, but it was no good. She was fast and must stay fast. Presently, as she stood trembling in the dark, wondering if help would come, she heard something calling in the distance, calling, calling, and then dying away with a sob, till the marshes were full of this pitying crying sound. Then she heard steps floundering along, squishing in the mud, slipping on the tufts, and through the darkness she saw a white face with great feared eyes. "'Twas a man, strayed in the bogs. Mazed with fear, he struggled on towards the flickering lights that looked like help and safety. And when the poor moon saw that he was coming nigher and nigher to the deep hole, further and further from the path, she was so mad and she was so sorry that she struggled and fought and pulled harder than ever. And though she couldn't get loose, she twisted and turned till her black hood fell off her shining silver hair, and the beautiful light that came from it drove away the darkness." Oh, but the man cried with joy to see the light again, and at once all evil things fled away into the dark corners, for they cannot abide the light. So he could see where he was, and where the path was, and how he could get to the marsh. He was in such a haste to get away from the quicks and the bogles and the things that dwelt there, that he scarce looked to look at the bright light that came from the shining, beautiful silver hair, streaming out over the black cloak and falling to the water at his feet. And the moon herself was so taken up with saving him and with rejoicing that he was back on the right path, and she clean forgot that she needed help herself. She was held fast by the black snag. So off he went, spent and gasping, stumbling with joy, sobbing with joy, flying for his life out of the terrible bogs. Then it came over the moon that she would main like to go with him. So she pulled and she fought as if she were mad, till she fell on her knees, spent with tugging, and at the foot of the snag, there she lay, gasping for breath, with the black hood fell forward over her head. So out went the blessed light, and back came the darkness, with all its evil things, with a screech and a howl, and they came crowding around her, mocking and snatching and beating, shrieking with rage and spite, swearing and snarling, for they knew her of old, their old enemy, that drove them back into the corners and kept them from working their wicked wills. "Drat thee," yell the witch bodies, "thou spoilest our spells this year agone, and thou sentest to brood in the corners," had the bogles, and all these things joined in with a great ho-ho, until the very tussocks shook and the water gurgled, and they began again. "We'll poison her," shrieked the witches. "Ho-ho," cried the things again. "We'll smother her," creaked the crawling horrors that twined themselves around her knees. "And ho-ho," mocked the rest of them. Again they all shouted with spite and ill will, and the poor moon crouched down and wished she was dead and done with. They fought and they squabbled with what they would do with her till a pale grey light began to come into the sky and it drew nigh the dawning. And when they saw that, they were feared lest they shouldn't have time to work their will. So they caught hold of her with horrid bony fingers and laid her deep in the water at the foot of the snag. And the bogles fetched a strange big stone and rolled it on top of her to keep her from rising. And there they told two of the will-o'-the-wisps to take turns in watching on the black snag to see that she lay safe and still and couldn't get out to spoil their sport. And there lay the poor moon, dead and buried in the bog, till someone would set her loose. For who would know where to look for her? Well, the days passed, and 'twas the time for the new moon's coming, and the folk put pennies in their pockets and straws in their caps so as to be ready for her, and looked about. For the moon was a good friend to the marsh folks, and they were main glad when the dark time was gone and the paths were safe again, and the evil things were driven back by the blessed light into the darkness and the water holes. But days and days passed, and the new moon never came, and the nights were dark, aye, and the evil things were worse than ever, and still the days went on, and the new moon never came. Naturally, the poor folk were strangely feared and mazed, and a lot of them went to the wise woman who dwelt at the old mill and asked her if she could find out where the moon was gone. Well, she said, after looking into the brew pot and into the mirror and into the book, it be main queer, and I can't rightly tell you what happened to here, but if I hear of aught, come tell me. So they went their ways, and as days went by and never a moon came, naturally they talked, my word, I reckon they did talk, their tongues wagged at home and at the inn and at the garth. But so came one day, as they sat at the great settle in the inn, a man from the far end of the boglands was smoking and listening, when all at once he sat up and slapped his knee. My faith, he says, I clean forgot, but I reckon I kens where the moon might be. He told them of how he was lost in the bogs and how when he was safe home in the dead night with fright and the light shone out and the path got him home safe. So off they all went to the wise woman and told her about it. She looked long in the pot and long in the book again, and then she nodded her head. It's dark still, childer dark, she says, I can't rightly see. But do as I tell ye, and you'll find out for yourselves, all of ye. Just afore the night gathers, put a stone in your mouth and take a hazel twig in your hands and say never a word till you're safe home again. Then walk on and fear not, far into the midst of the marsh, till you find a coffin, a candle and a cross. Then you'll not be far from your moon. Look and mayhappen you'll find her. So came the next night in the darklings. Out they all went together, every man with a stone in his mouth and a hazel twig in his hand, and feeling thus most reckon, mighty feared and creeped. They stumbled and stottered along the paths in the midst of the bogs. They saw naught, though they heard sighings and flutterings in their ears and felt cold wet fingers touching them, but all at once looking around for the coffin, the candle and the cross. When they came nigh to the pool beside the great snag where the moon lay buried, and all at once they stopped, quaking and mazed and scary, for there was the great stone, half in, half out of the water, looking for all the world like a strange big coffin, and at the head was the black snag, stretching out its two arms in dark, gruesome cross, for on it a tiddy light flickered like a dying candle. They all knelt down in the mud and said, Our Lord, first forward because of the cross, then backward, to keep off the bogles, but without speaking out, for they knew the evil things would catch them if they didn't do so, as the wise woman had told them. Then they went nigher and took hold of the big stone and shoved it up, and afterwards they said that for one tiddy minute they saw a strange and beautiful face looking up at them, glad-like out of the water, but the light came so quick, so white and so shining that they stepped back full mazed with it, and at the very minute, when they could see again, there was the full moon in the sky, bright and beautiful and kind as ever, shining and smiling down on them, and making the bogs and the paths as clear as day, and sealing into the very corners as though she had driven the darkness and the bogles clean away if she could.